All four Gospels tell the story the same way. Before Jesus ever stepped onto the public stage, there was a warm-up act, John the Baptist. And John came out to get the people ready to receive the main act, who was Jesus. Well, Jesus has long since come, but the words of John still serve to prepare us to hear him afresh. And so we're going to turn our attention today to one of those passages traditional with this time of year, reading in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you have inspired it long ago to be written and inspiring us today to hear it. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you that you've been praying a prayer that's been answered. You've prayed it hundreds of times. I think most of you in this room have prayed it thousands of times. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. So, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, do you really expect it to be answered? You know, it's so regular, and it's such a ritual for us, that it's the kind of thing we do just because we do it. We say the Lord's Prayer. So too with this particular petition, "Thy kingdom come." When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," what is usually in our mind is we're praying for the return of Christ. And that's a good prayer to offer. Pray for Jesus to come. This week would be just fine. Come, Lord Jesus, please. But this is the prayer that's also been answered. It was answered when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he announced that the kingdom was at hand. He was bringing the kingdom of God. It arrived with him. And the kingdom of God is a ready or not kind of thing. You're either ready or you're not, but it's coming. It's coming. It's not dependent upon your readiness. And the Lord, knowing that, sent someone ahead of Jesus to prepare the way for him and his kingdom. That was John the Baptist's assignment. You go and get the people ready because I'm ready to send the kingdom with my son. Now, before we hear what John had to say, let's give a little attention to John himself, because who he was in so many ways matched what he said. Now, this was a long time before newspapers or social media, and yet the word got around, "You ought to go out and hear this guy preaching out in the wilderness." And they did. Word got around. They went out in droves, out into the boonies to hear John. No one went out in that wilderness by accident. If you've been to the Holy Land, or if you've just seen the pictures of that barren wilderness around the southern end of the land of Israel, well, let's just say no one went there for fun. And the people went. They went in droves. They went out in the wilderness because they'd heard something. They heard that the Word of God was being spoken. Now remember, this is 400 years since the last Old Testament prophet, and a lot of people in Israel had long since given up that there was ever going to be another. But that didn't make the hunger go away. And you may have experienced it yourself where you're hungry and you don't even really realize it until someone says the food is ready. And then when they say the food is ready, you realize, oh my goodness, I am hungry. Well, the announcement was made. There's food being served, spiritual food being served. And John was serving it up. Of course, he was serving it up in a way that people didn't know to expect. For one thing, they didn't know to expect his appearance. I mean, rather than the fine robes and the prayer tassels on the corners of his robes, he was wearing clothes that the ancient version of goodwill would reject. Were they taken to him? And he looked like he'd been living out in the wilderness, which he had. And he was subsisting on what he could find there, locusts and wild honey. So you didn't have to look twice at this guy to know that he wasn't much tuned in to the approval ratings. And then if you heard him, you would know even more. Here's how he greeted the most religious among those in the audience. You brood of vipers! This is not a guy who's fooling around. And there was something appealing about that. He spoke the plain, unvarnished truth, and the people went to hear him. And here's the main thing that John was doing. He was promoting. Promoting not himself, but someone else. Promoting a greater one who was to come. And despite all the enthusiasm and all of the "we want John" chants, he stuck with his assignment. He knew that it was not about him, it was about someone else that he'd been sent to prepare the way for. So his message was prepare the way, and he attached that with a single call, repent. And he didn't just say it, he shouted it, repent. And he didn't just shout it, he brought a ritual to bear of repentance, being washed in the Jordan River for repentance. Now usually this ritual was used for people who were outside the faith to come into the Jewish faith. They would wash as a sign of their repentance. But he was offering it to all now as a way of showing that they were ready to repent. Now that's a familiar word around here, but let's stop and think about repent a little bit. Not exactly a warm and fuzzy word. It's more of a, oh no, you mean I've got to deal with that mess in my life. It's that kind of word. And John says, yeah, if you want to be prepared for what God is about to do, yeah, you better deal with it. Because the kingdom's coming. It's coming ready or not. You have a chance to get ready, and that means it's important to repent. Now, repentance is not about beating yourself up. It's not about being ashamed. It's about getting ready. It's about making the changes that are necessary in order to receive the good things that God is bringing to you. Now, John doesn't sound exactly like that, does he? When you read the words he spoke and hear the tone with which he spoke them, he has a hard edge to him. His repent message pretty much boiled down to turn or burn. Some of that was just the way John was wired. And some of it was that John himself didn't fully understand the character of this kingdom that was at hand. Later on, when Jesus brought the good news in person, it was such good news, and it came with healing people and multiplying loaves and stilling storms and all of these signs of the nature of the kingdom. Well, John hadn't expected the kingdom to look like that. So you may remember that later in the gospel, we're told the story of how John sent a message to Jesus and said, "Is yours the kingdom I thought I was announcing?" Well, John didn't have a grid, really, to interpret something so good as what Jesus brought in the kingdom of God. And we'll come back to that story later this year as we make our way on through Matthew. But But know this, even with John's limited understanding of the kingdom, he was announcing its arrival with the right message. Repent. If you've been a Bible student, then you may have heard that word repent in the original language means literally turn around your thinking, change direction. It's not about feeling ashamed, it's about changing your direction. The point's not to feel guilty. The point is to turn from what's wrong to what's right. And Jesus called for repentance too. But then Jesus went on to make plain that what he was bringing was so good that once you saw what he was bringing, there was no way you were going to settle for what you had before. That you would do anything to get from where you'd been to where he was going, because he was bringing such goodness with him in the kingdom of God, which meant that you had to change direction to go with what he was bringing and what he was doing. So for Jesus, repent is not bad news. It's actually the great good news that there's still a chance to come along, to change direction and come along and receive the goodness of the treasure he's bringing. Or think of repentance like this. Think about hospitality. Think about getting ready for a guest. I mean, that's part of what John's saying. John's saying there's a guest coming, a guest like you've never experienced before, and he is so wonderful that I'm not even worthy to carry his sandal. Now, that's a pretty high recommendation. What would you do if you heard that such a guest was coming? Well, let me ask you, how do you get ready for guests now? When you hear that guests are coming to the house, Sarah and I keep a pretty clean house, which I'm sure you know that means Sarah keeps a pretty clean house. Her standards are higher than mine, and, you know, I pitch in as I'm told, but she's the one with the standards. But even with a clean house, when there are guests who are coming, we start looking with different eyes. We see things we wouldn't see around the house just when it's us. But when the guest is coming, well, then we notice the dust bunnies that are under the furniture. Now, I bet it's like this for you. I mean, it looks basically clean around here, good enough. But then when you know that a guest is coming, suddenly you're seeing with different eyes, and you want to do a little extra cleaning up. And that's what we tend to hear when we hear this word repent. Oh, there's a guest coming. Oh, that guest. Wow. I guess I need to clean up a little bit. There's some dust bunnies laying around here in my life that need sweeping up, and I don't want to be embarrassed when the divine guest shows up. Now, that's sort of getting at this, but it's not quite the message of the Scripture in the call to repentance. It's more like what Ben did to get ready for Megan. Now, those of you who know Ben know that he's not a slob. But Ben did have a bachelor pad. And as he and Megan began to talk about where it would be best for them to live, they decided that his place was best. Now, Ben's a wise man. He understands that having a place that is suitable for him is not the same as having a place that's suitable for a new wife, and that there needed to be some changes made beyond just cleaning up the dust bunnies. Because this wasn't just any guest. This is someone he loved and treasured. And he wanted to make the place ready for her. So I asked him about this, and he told me that he not only cleaned the bathroom, he re-caulked the shower. And then in the living room, he didn't just get the dust bunnies out from under the couch. He actually got down and wiped down the baseboards. Guys, did y'all know that that needed to be done? I mean, who knew? And he told me that he repainted the bedroom a brighter color. No guy in his right mind is going to repaint the bedroom for himself. I mean, you just don't notice these things. But when a bride is coming, suddenly things need brightening up. There's got to be some fixing to make it ready. That's what the Scripture means by repentance. It's not just cleaning up the mess. It's making the place right for this new and treasured relationship. The one who brings the kingdom. The one John announced. That one loves you and wants to be present with you. And he's bringing a whole new way of life, this kingdom of God way of life. And so the way your life has been, well, it could use some fixing up. It could use some preparation, some redoing. That's the call to repentance. It's more than just chasing down dust bunnies. It's getting ready for a whole new way of life, a whole new love relationship. Not everyone heard it that way. John was calling, repent, get ready, there's good news coming, you've got to get ready. The Pharisees and the Sadducees just didn't get that at all. And in part, it may be because John knew who they were, and he spoke some pretty harsh words. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, these were the most religious people in the whole crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So you would think that they wouldn't even need a call to repentance, right? That somehow that was irrelevant to them. But John knew that even the religious need to repent. And there was a lot in their lives that needed to be made right. I mean, we see that coming out as Jesus began his ministry. He had some criticism for them. And we'll deal with those passages too. But for today, let's just put the best spin possible on their intentions, these Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees wanted to take the Scripture seriously. They were akin to our modern back-to-the-Bible movements. They paid attention to every detail in the Old Testament. They wanted the Old Testament lived. They wanted the laws lived and enforced. And they were very enthused about making that happen. The Sadducees were a lot looser with the particulars of the Old Testament, but they were very intent on making the faith relevant to the times. Because since the time of the Old Testament being written, Greek culture had come into their land and had changed the whole culture. The Romans were now controlling the government. And things just work differently. And so the Sadducees' strategy was to update the old-time religion and make it relevant to the present moment. So for all of their failings, there was some noble motive here. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's make the faith relevant to our times. But John the Baptist wasn't exactly taken with their virtues, and thus his greeting to them. You brood of vipers! Bear fruit worthy of repentance. So what was he getting at? Well, a lot of the people who came to hear John responded readily to his call, but the Pharisees were so satisfied with their own righteousness that they just couldn't figure out what his word had to do with them. I mean, they kept the law after all. And the Sadducees were so satisfied with their religious lineage, I mean, they were the sons of Abraham. And they tell you that in a moment. So they were both so self-satisfied, so religiously satisfied, that they couldn't possibly figure out what a call to repent would have to do with them. So if you're trying to connect the dotted lines between this ancient story and right now, here's the place to do it. Let me give you a clue. Who were the most religious people in the story? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who are the most religious people around today? Well, the kind of people who would come out on a cold January morning for worship. People like you and me. You're diligent. You're religious. There is so much that's going right in your life. There's great virtue there. And John the Baptist wants you to know that his call to repentance actually does apply to you. and to me. His call to us applies just as much or more than anyone, as he made it plain to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Any of you know the Babylon Bee? It's a satirical Christian news site. So let me say that again. Satirical Christian news site. You go to that news site not to read what's actually happening, but just a satire of what's happening. And it's so funny. Like this one. I don't know if you can read that, but let me read you the headline of the story. Woman unsure why she needs Jesus after preacher spends 30 minutes telling her how amazing she is. And then you click on the headline and here's the story. According to reports coming out of Hope Community Church, first-time visitor Brittany Wilson remains unsure about why she needed this Jesus guy after the pastor spent the entire Sunday sermon reiterating how awesome and amazing she is. She said the message was super encouraging. It was all about how I need to let the goodness within me shine. But then the pastor said I needed Jesus. Like what? It made no sense. I'm not sure what Jesus has to offer that I don't already have based on how wonderful the pastor said I am. Like I said, satire. But it's a satire of something that actually happens in the church. We often fail to see how people so wonderful as we are could possibly have any need to repent. Well, let's just say that John the Baptist would not be impressed with you and me. That he would have the same message for us as he had for the people long ago. Repent. There's one who's coming. He brings a kingdom. And it's time to get ready. Which brings us back to that answered prayer with which we began. Thy kingdom come. The Lord has answered this prayer. The one that John announced has come. And he has come for you. And the new kingdom he brings is at hand. We've begun to taste it. We who follow Jesus have begun to taste this kingdom. And it has satisfied us, but it's also made us hungry for something more. If you want something more, if you want more of this excellent one, this king, the Lord Jesus, if you want more of his kingdom and its goodness, then it's time to get ready. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've come and that you are coming yet more into our lives and that you will come again. And as a way of yearning for your return, Lord, we want to fully receive what you bring for us now. So call to mind, Lord, awaken in our hearts everything in our lives from which we need to turn more fully toward you, to be postured in readiness for the next things you would do in our lives. We're eager to see what that would be. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.